and welcome to First Things First. I'm Jenna Wolf. That's the Hall of Famer Chris Carter. This right here is Nick Wright. We got a big show for you guys today.
Absolutely.
We're good?
First day of spring.
First day of spring. I was
yes,
waiting
Jenna
for you to bring
matching.
That up.
Yeah. That's what my girl did. Christine,
well, very got
the tie matching
tie.
With Gina, with Jenna and everything.
We're all thrown off.
Nick and of course, him and his wife, she styles him up and everything. So
I didn't even know today was the first day of spring.
Well, of course, a lot of stuff you don't know.
Oh,
but we break it to you.
You guys are on the seasons. You're up on that season knowledge.
And now we're going to talk sports things. Big show today. Draymond is starting more drama with KD. Cowboys added another weapon for Dak Prescott. We got to start with the rumored to be top overall pick in this year's NFL draft, and that is Kyler Murray. Hey, if the Cardinals are trying to be discreet about their draft plans, they're doing a questionable job at best. Murray met with the Arizona Cardinals yesterday, adding to the speculation that the Heisman winner will, in fact, be the number one overall pick. If that's the case, it would pair Murray with Cliff Kingsbury, the head coach who recruited him at a high school. And this would leave Josh Rosen, their first pick last year, odd man out. All right, CeCe, how hard is this decision for the Arizona Cardinals?
It's a difficult decision. When you look at what they've gone through from an ownership, the power they gave Steve Keim last year to be able to revamp the whole organization, fire the coach, to be able to, out of the quarterbacks, they knew they needed a quarterback of the future, and they felt as if with Josh falling to them at the 10th pick.
Well, yeah, they traded up from 15 when
yes.
he fell.
They
after
really
Josh
wanted
Allen.
Him. Yep. They really wanted him. They thought that potentially when it all started behind the scenes, they thought that just like the Jets thought, you know, so we got the best guy. Now, Cleveland thought they had the best quarterback in Baker, but Arizona was very, very comfortable being able to get the quarterback of the future. Also, they selected a head coach. And they thought that Wilkes was going to be the coach of the future. But when you get off of the coach after the first year, Josh Rosen didn't have a lot of success. People question, is he the right guy to move forward? You made a lot of critical decisions that you would get off of in 12 months. So that makes this decision even more important. There's a reason after last year being at the top of the draft that they're back in the top of the draft having the number one pick. So, for me, it's the most important decision they've made in the franchise in a long, long time. And it's hard to be able to get right because we've never seen a guy at this size play the position and play it successfully. Now, is he going to be the guy that you're going to give that responsibility to? And that responsibility is on Steve Keim making this decision because this decision right here will determine the rest of his executive life in Arizona as a general manager, his overall credibility. So, it's very important that they get this right.
Cliff Kingsbury might be able to survive if they get this wrong.
He can always go back to college.
Well, and he also might get more. He could have a longer rope than Keim does at this point. To your point, Steve
yes.
Keim,
mm-hmm.
whether they stick with Rosen or go to Kyler Murray, will determine whether or not he gets an added tenure to the Arizona Cardinals run, because you don't usually let guys hire multiple head coaches. Like Steve Keim also has had some off-field issues that put him on the hot seat, absent of the on-field performance. So this is the most important decision the Cardinals franchise will make over the next few years. And when you mention Rosen, they traded the 15th, the 79th, and the 152nd pick for Josh Rosen. That's about what it just took to get Odell Beckham. Odell Beckham, you got for the 17th, 95th, and a player. This was 15th, 79th, and the 152nd. I say that to say this. If they take Kyler Murray first overall, they will have spent the first pick, the 15th pick, the 79th pick, and a fifth-round pick on quarterbacks in the last 2 years. That's what it will have mean. Now, we'll see what they can get back for Josh Rosen via trade, but it won't be 100 cents on the dollar. So how hard is the decision? Well, it's incredibly difficult unless you think you're sure. If this is your guy, if you know, and if you are just totally confident, doesn't matter. Rosen's a sunk cost. Even if Rosen was a good quarterback, we would still draft Kyler Murray. Then you do it. You get as much as you can for Rosen, and you move forward. That's not the path I would take. I don't look at the Arizona Cardinals and say, man, if they only had a quarterback. I don't look at the Cardinals the way I looked at the Jags the last few years. Man. If they just had the quarterback. They have so many needs, and they already spent a legitimate amount of draft capital on a quarterback. I think there's a better path forward, in large part because I do believe in Josh Rosen. But I think this is the path they're going down. I think this is the path they want to go down. I'm not reading too much into Cliff Kingsbury before he plays a player in college talking the player up. But I'm reading that and the tea leaves since then that say they hired Cliff Kingsbury to bring a college-style offense to the Arizona Cardinals, so get one of the greatest college, most prolific college quarterbacks ever.
Well, do you think that the Cardinals think they whiffed on Josh Rosen? Do you think that they said, okay, that was a mistake, even though it's on the board that they just didn't put enough offense around him? Maybe they weren't giving him enough protection to enough to make him succeed last year?
I think as an organization that they would say that if Kyler Murray had decided to go play baseball and he wasn't available. I don't think if Dwayne Haskins is the number one quarterback in this year's draft and say Murray's not in the draft, I don't think that they look at a quarterback. I think that they look at how do I support this quarterback? How do I help my offensive line? How do I get some other weapons outside of Larry Fitzgerald to be able to help him? Can I put a running game to be able to protect him? Because we have seen quarterbacks, Jared Goff recently, where a change of face, a change in offensive philosophy has resurrected a quarterback's career instantly. But there is tremendous pressure to be able to get this right because not only is the organization the Cardinals want to be relevant, but look at the division that they play in. Man, you're going against the Rams, the 49ers, and Russell Wilson in Seattle. You need a quarterback. That's why this decision, not only from an organizational standpoint, if you're going to compete, but I'm from the philosophy, man, you make a mistake, I'm willing to admit my mistake. If they feel like he's not the guy internally from what they've seen, man, I would move on from him. I believe there's other teams that would be able to get you, not necessarily dollar for dollar, but I believe you can get a first-round draft pick or a high second round and something else.
Would the Giants give you the 32nd overall pick for Josh Rosen, their second-round pick? Like that, and then all of a sudden, okay, so we're getting, you know, 60 cents on the dollar back on our investment, and we think that Kyler is the better player, which I think they do believe. But if they go with Kyler Murray, that it is a bit of a franchise reset in this regard. They don't have enough talent on this team. On either side of the football.
They didn't have enough talent to make it work for Josh Rosen.
I'm going
to
say something that I don't think's been out there, but I would imagine Steve Keim in his flowchart of decisions has this on the board. If we draft Kyler Murray, do we put Patrick Peterson quietly on the trade block? Do we say that is our best asset? That is a player that could recoup a Khalil Mack-style couple first-round picks, arguably the best corner in the entire NFL? Do we need to treat this as a full-on total, going to take a couple years, get as much talent as possible? Since they need so much talent, that's one of the reasons why. Now, I do believe in Rosen, that I would, instead of drafting Kyler, I would shop that first overall pick to a team that desperately wants Kyler because they need couple offensive linemen. They need another wide receiver. They need help everywhere on defense except for Patrick Peterson's spot. Larry Fitzgerald is there in his what I would assume is his final year. The Cardinals are, as much as any team in the league, bereft of talent, which is why it's, to me, odd. You're going to fire the coach and switch out the quarterback when you know there's not a ton of talent.
And then don't you end up in the same position you were in last year, a young, new quarterback without a ton around him, a ton of weapons, a ton of protection?
Except they would say they clearly believe one of the problems last year was the coach. And they clearly think that this coach with a better quarterback mm-hmm. will give them better results than last year's coach with Rosen.
The one thing that I worry about with them taking Kyler, and we haven't talked about it much because what Baker Mayfield did and what they're doing at Oklahoma with the coach there, the reason why Cliff Kingsbury and his offense, the Red Raider offense or whatever they call it, is different than what they run at Oklahoma is Oklahoma is into pass protection. They protect the quarterback. The reason why those quarterbacks in the Big 12 and run those offense haven't been successful because the pass protection wasn't primary. In the NFL, the pass protection is primary. And that's why Baker was able to be successful in Cleveland, because the system that he ran, it's not the same. So for me, you're talking about not having a lot of talent. I worry about Kingsbury. Is he going to put some protection with that offense that he's run? Because he hasn't run an offense that protected the quarterback the way it needs to be protected. And now we're talking about the smallest guy to be drafted in that type of position. So that's what I worry about. If they do decide to go with Kyler, Kingsbury, I've seen your offense, man. I've seen you allow your quarterback to get hit. And there's a reason why Baker Mayfield was the only one. And the reason why, because Lincoln Riley, he changed that offense. What Kyler's used to is different than what Cliff Kingsbury is coaching. And that's a concern of mine.
And Kyler's entire starting life in college football, he had the best offensive line in college football. Oklahoma won that award. It's a new award. It's for offensive line as a whole. So he is used to having great protection. He's going to have, on a relative scale, worse protection in the NFL compared to the defenders than he had in college football, no matter where he goes.
Yep.
But the Kingsbury point, what he did at Tech and the way their offensive line worked, is a really interesting one that I hadn't really considered.
All right, let's take a break. Coming up on the other side, can the Dallas Cowboys offense soar to new heights with the addition of Randall Cobb? That's next on FS1. You can always check us out on the Fox Sports channel on SiriusXM. We'll be right back. Welcome back. We'll get to the Cowboys in a second. But first, a couple of big plays from last night. Rockets, Hawks, Chris Paul showing off the handles, dishes to Kenneth Faried for the finish.
Chris Paul's having fun playing basketball.
Man, and he looks healthy, and he's
every other
great
game, he is in his bag, behind his back, playing with them. Well, you know the Clippers, too, man. Like, he got to give them a little extra.
A little extra.
Yeah, a little extra
but
them.
Good news for the Clippers yesterday that we'll get more into, despite the... Oh, that was the Hawks last night.
Look at that. See, I'm telling you, man.
Same game.
They need to stop wearing
Harden
the jerseys.
Making Kent Bazemore look
I was confused.
Silly.
I was like, but the Clippers won last night, but the Rockets won. How'd this happen? These damn jerseys, see? Look at Harden. Harden going off. See, how about this? Rockets, since they moved on from your guy Carmelo Anthony, second best record in all of basketball. Only Milwaukee's been better.
Yeah,
Hornets.
You're going to screw up your offense,
Sixers.
Man. Put Melo right in the middle of it.
Kemba Walker dancing around the Philly defense and finishing with the pretty reverse.
Hey, young people out there, if you want to improve your offense, learn how to dribble the basketball. Watch all these highlights. Watch how guys get where they want to go. Not by a pick, not by a screen, not coach calling you a play. Get out and work on your game. Dribble the basketball. Ben Simmons, too. You take some notes.
Ben Simmons was great last night. Kemba Walker's in foul trouble.
Watch
cost
the
him
Steph
the game.
Curry dime to KD.
Oh,
beautiful.
That ain't even fair.
Pass.
That's almost exactly from where Steph shot it from in the first quarter against the Spurs.
61 feet?
It wasn't 61 feet. NBA got that wrong. I crunched the numbers twice. I was very upset. You guys were questioning my math on the show
crunching
yesterday.
The
more on that in the post-show meeting.
You didn't know it was the first meeting. Day of spring.
First day of spring.
Well said,
Nick.
You're
right, Jenna.
Well said. All right, moving on to the Dallas Cowboys now. If you were worried about how the team was going to recover after letting Cole Beasley go, all two of you out there, no worries. Help is on the way. Cowboys have reportedly signed former Packer Randall Cobb to a one-year, $5 million deal. Hey, Cowboys needed a pass catcher. Cobb catches passes. Good fit, especially with Amari Cooper and Ezekiel Elliott rounding out that offense. CC, smart pickup for the Cowboys?
Yes, at that price. Because Dallas, we know that based on the limited cap space they have available, the number of players that they want signed, younger players who have deserve a pay raise, starting with DeMarcus Lawrence, the defensive end who they franchise, they have to be able to pay these players. So you're going to have to be able to try to pick up free agents, guys who are good in the locker room, guys who provide some type of leadership, and or something's happened with their career. Either they've been injured, they weren't utilized the right way offensively or defensively, and that's what Randall Cobb is. He's a guy who has been productive, but the last several years, he's been hurt. I like the addition. If they let him know with the $5 million, he's not going to be a starter. So he's not going to play 60 plays a game. Michael Gallup's going to start at the wide receiver opposite of Amari Cooper. And if you add Cobb, who also can come out of the backfield, which I believe makes him a special slot receiver, better than some of the other ones, his overall versatility. But when you put him on the field with those other two guys, you got the type of speed that when I talked to their wide receiver coach, Sanjay Lal, that's one of the things he said he wanted to be able to help Dallas. He wanted to make them a faster offense, not a big prodding with that big offensive line and Zeke, but put some speed and big plays on the outside. And he wants to really help the downfield passing game. Passes over 15 yards. Dak Prescott, that's not his specialty. But when you have guys who can run, and Cobb is a guy who can flat out run, and his specialty is not only catching the football, but yards after the catch, I believe it's a tremendous addition to what Dallas needs to do, fit to their locker room, the price they're paying, and the short-term commitment, Nick.
Listen, I think this is a great move for Dallas for a lot of the reasons C mentioned. So you said he's not going to be a starter. He'll be their starting slot guy, but he's not going to be one of their top two receivers.
I'm just saying from a philosophy standpoint, he's been injured a lot. the last 3 years. All right? He hadn't been over 700 yards the last 3 years.
Right.
Forget about it. Look, Dallas is a I formation, Zeke Elliott, two tight ends, one tight end. We getting ready to bang this thing at you. And also, I got to tell Michael Gallup, he played well enough last year. He deserves to be the starter.
And Michael Gallup was going like this over the course of the season. The final game of the Cowboys year, Gallup 6 for $119 in the playoff loss to the Rams. So you saw Michael Gallup, okay, what he's becoming. We know what Amari Cooper was. Now, all of a sudden, with Randall Cobb assuming his health, which has been a big assumption over the last few years, now you've got a legitimate wide receiving core. You have a true number one. You have a guy that could turn into a number two that you drafted in third round, so you hope he turns into that number two, and a veteran slot receiver that is an enormous upgrade over Cole Beasley. That play that we were showing, the game-winning touchdown against the Bears, that's a play Cole Beasley literally has never made in his career. And by that, I mean, that's a 75-yard touchdown. That's 20 yards longer than Cole Beasley's career long. Like, Cole Beasley can't make that play. He can't run away from the defense like that. Now, after week one last season, Cobb didn't have a single game with 45 yards receiving. So the injuries caught up to him. He missed almost half the season, and he was banged up throughout the games he did play. So the health is a real concern. But for 1 year, $5 million, for a guy whose upside is, he can still be one of the better slot receivers in the league and a guy you're not going to be relying on to be your number one guy, I think it's a no-brainer move for Dallas.
And I like the fact that he's staying in the NFC. He's got a lot of intel on the defenses in the NFC. He's played in a lot of big games. He's got a high football IQ, very, very well liked. But I like the fact, too, when you leave Green Bay, because you have to be a special athlete to play in Green Bay. Of course, we know about the weather, but their field, it's not a fast field. So an undersized guy like him, a speed guy, playing on Green Bay's surface is not the best surface for him. So I believe playing in Jerry World on that fast surface, playing indoors, is to be a lot warmer. I believe all those things can help keep him healthier. And if you get a wide receiver banged up for a week or two, he is a guy that can start games. You said some of the things that advantage that Cole Beasley couldn't. Cole is never going to be a starter. This is a guy, if Gallup or Amari get hurt, you can plug him being like, man, he's got starter experience. He knows all the different positions. You would feel comfortable with him being the starter.
You seem very concerned about how injury-prone he is. Yesterday on the show, we talked about Eric Berry coming in to meet with Dallas. He also is injury-prone. That's two guys they're going to bring in for perhaps short-term contracts, maybe, and not have to pay them a ton of money. They're being economical about what they're trying to do.
So I want to be fair. I'm not putting him in the Eric Berry category.
Okay.
But because Berry, we don't know if he can play consistently at all anymore. He had a devastating injury.
I believe there was a bigger market for Randall Cobb than there will be for Eric Berry.
Because Berry, it's a real question mark. Will his NFL career continue throughout this season? But to your point, Jenna, when you have the economic limitations the Cowboys have, there's anybody you bring in is going to have an enormous question mark. Because the question mark, they've never been highly productive. They were a highly drafted guy who never reached his potential.
Yes.
The question mark, they're probably too old. Is the question mark that, you know what,
absolutely,
they might be a bad dude.
Yeah.
Is the question mark, he can do it if he stays healthy. Like, you can't get really good players on really good contracts unless there is a big question mark. For Cobb, he's not too old. He's older, but he's not too old in today's NFL. He doesn't have character questions, and he absolutely has reached his he's not a disappointing player. He's reached, if not exceeded, his potential. For him, the question mark is, how banged up will he be? Can he consistently play for you? But I really like the point you make, which is, when we talk about wide receivers in the NFL, far too often we don't realize that there are certain guys that can only play certain spots. And while we think Michael Gallup is going to continue on this trajectory, if Cobb's healthy and if Gallup's hurt or if Gallup has a sophomore slump or doesn't pick up where he left off at the end of last year, that you could say, okay, we have Randall Cobb as a backup potential starting wide receiver. That is much more valuable to me than a typical slot wide receiver that can only play the slot position. The Cowboys' biggest weakness midway through last year was their wide receiving core. Now it's nobody could say that anymore because of Amari, what we think Gallup could be, and what we know Randall Cobb is when he's on the field.
Then quickly, what would their biggest weakness be?
I don't want to say it's their biggest weakness, but given the money they're paying, I want to see how good their offensive line is. I want to see if they get the best center in football back. That's not their biggest weakness at all, but it needs to be their biggest strength, and last year it wasn't.
Their biggest weakness is tight end.
Okay, sure. On a very specific level, absolutely.
Good hair for their tight end.
Gotta
take
a
break.
I think that leaves with television.
Coming up, are LeBron's days as the best player in the
good
league
hair.
Already over? That's next on First Things First. Two division champion Lamont Peterson takes on Sergey Lipinets in a welterweight showdown. It is Sunday at 6 Eastern, only on FS1 and the Fox Sports app. Time for us to go viral. So the Blazers are currently the fourth seed in the West, and as they make their playoff push, Damian Lillard said, quote, people are sleeping on us, but there is one person already performing at a championship caliber level. Check out halftime performer Oscar just crushing it with the Blazer dancers.
Oh, okay.
Wait for it.
Get it, Oscar.
I'm telling you it'll be worth it.
It's already worth it. I don't even know what's coming up.
Oh.
Okay.
Nope.
What do you mean, no, Jenna?
No, I just meant that's great.
This is, yeah, it's great. Look at my man.
He's so good. So talented. Very flexible.
This. Just. Come on, Oscar. What you got for us here? Folks.
He's got some ginormous calves. Like, seriously. Like.
From all that dancing?
No, I don't think it's from that, but.
Are we going to, okay. Well, anyway, it's great that they give everyone a chance to dance.
Oh!
There was. Oh. Did you?
What do you mean, give everyone a chance to dance?
Well, I mean, I'm sure.
Oh!
There it is. Oh! He showed up at the auditions, and maybe they were like, well, I don't know, sir. And he's like, well, let me show you what I can do.
Oh,
and,
or maybe they don't judge a book by its cover like one Jenna Wolf. It looked to me like he had great moves.
Nick, of course.
That was outstanding, Oscar.
Forward quickly.
Go get it, my man.
Catch me later on. I got some fresh ones on now.
Stories to start your morning brought to you by the unexpected energy of ExxonMobil.
Surgically removed. No way he can stretch like that.
Told you to wait for it. Mike Trout became a very rich man yesterday. He signed the biggest contract in baseball history. It's a 12-year, $430 million deal to stay with the Angels. How much is that an at-bat, Nick?
An at-bat? Come on.
We'll give you the time to think about it. He will definitely stay there. He's got no outs.
70 grand about. Go ahead.
Of course. Nick, good move by the Angels?
I think, you know, it's a great move by the Angels. You get the best player in baseball to actually what is probably around below market value. If Manny Machado gets $30 million a year, he's going to average $36 million a year when the extension kicks in. The difference between Trout and Machado is more than a 20% raise. So it's a great move by the Angels, and I'm happy for Trout. People criticizing him like, oh, he clearly doesn't want to win. Man, nobody knows how good the Angels are going to be in the next few years. It's not like they're a historically awful franchise. They made the playoffs once when he was there, won 98 games, Royals beat him. Like, I'm happy for Trout. I'm happy for the Angels. It's a great deal.
This is really about a guy being happy and wanting to stay there for a long time, regardless if he's the highest paid or not. I like the fact that, no, I don't have to be the highest paid on average, but I want to stay here, and I want to be able to win a championship here. Great guy, Jersey guy, used to have a football background, used to be a running back. Now, he's a guy that could have played in the league. Tremendous athlete, one of the best athletes in any sport. Go across all the sports, Mike Trout would be in that conversation.
Wow. All right, to the NBA now. After rumors of joining the Lakers, Doc Rivers said yesterday he has already agreed to a multi-year extension with the Clippers. Well played, Doc.
Yeah.
What did you make of this,
Doc Nick? Rivers with the king of the finesse. He had a two-year extension that evidently, this was what hadn't been reported, he had an opt-out in it. So he could have left this summer. Well, this news comes out that, hey, he might be thinking of leaving. Now he doesn't have a two-year extension. He has a multi-year extension that they announced and agreed to yesterday. So Doc Rivers staying with the Clippers. Huge for the Clippers and their summer free agency plans. And a great job by Doc and his representation getting this in the way.
Well, this
had
already been worked on. I had someone call me as soon as we got off the show, a source of the NBA, and told me, man, Doc's already got an extension that they haven't made public yet. He hadn't signed it yet. There's no way he's going to the Lakers. And then the news came out later on. So Doc is happy doing exactly what he's doing and where he's doing it at. So that's why I tell you guys in the morning when I come in, oh, man, we got a source. Really? Do we have a source?
But this source was right. See, he hadn't signed his extension, and he had an opt-out. It wasn't until yesterday that they officially signed the new deal. I mean, that is true. Like, that is they were working on it, but they hadn't signed the new deal.
The reality of Doc Rivers ever coaching the Lakers was not true. All right? It was a rumor because Doc was already working on an extension. Now, he had an out that people said, oh, if he had an out, well, maybe he'll go right downstairs and transfer to the Lakers. But as my source said, this was a deal that they had already agreed upon previously. It just hadn't been signed yet.
All right, let's move on. Kevin Durant and the Warriors taking care of business last night with a 117-107 win against Minnesota. However, much speculation remains whether or not KD will stay in Golden State after this season. Draymond Green commented on the rumors, saying whatever happens this summer happens. Whatever he'll do, he will do. If he goes, he goes. If he stays, he stays. But while he's here, we're going to win another championship. It's just that simple. Nothing else matters. All right, see, Nick, what was your reaction to Draymond's comments?
I mean, this isn't, it's not shocking. He could have said, obviously, we want to keep him. He could have said all things about the championship.
It's a very elaborate way of saying
that. If he dies, he dies. The Drago line, right? If he goes, he goes. If he stays, he stays. Draymond, though, there are layers to this. Because, yes, they're focused on winning a championship. Yes, for 2 years now, as David West alluded to and has been reported, members of the Warriors have been annoyed by Kevin Durant's pending free agency and Kevin Durant's wandering eye being a distraction at different parts of the last two seasons from their quest to last year repeat and this year three-peat. But the other angle for Draymond is a financial one, which is the Warriors are the only team that could consider giving Draymond Green a maximum contract. And if Kevin Durant stays, they're not going to give him a maximum contract. They're not going to want to pay that luxury tax, and they're not going to desperately need him the way if Kevin Durant leaves. So for Draymond, it's layered. Yes, we're focused on this year. Yes, he and I had our issue. And yes, for me personally, because I know they believe they can win even without him, it might not be the worst thing ever if Kevin Durant leaves and that money is freed up for me. So Draymond, it's about this year, it's about the annoyance, and it's about the long-term money. That's why he'd say, if he goes, he goes, and seems so nonchalant about it.
Yeah, what else is he supposed to say? I mean, if Kevin Durant, if everything is true, and Draymond knows it, Draymond's right there. What's he supposed to say? Oh, man, the guy, you know, he might stay. Like, no. Draymond knows if he goes, he goes. It's not going to matter. We've seen Golden State. KD's back with them, but we saw him without KD. They still pretty special. This is what I'll predict. If KD leaves Golden State, Golden State's still going to be the favorite next year to win the championship. So that's not about money. It's just about pure talent that they have there. And I'm sure if Draymond is a human being like the rest of us, it would be better if one guy left. But also, I think Draymond, he's smart enough to know if KD was to re-up for a couple more years, they might be able to win 5 championships. And that's pretty special, too. So it's a lot to build to think about and to build to manage. But when you think a guy is gone, what else are you supposed to say?
Right.
I mean, you don't think he's going to stay. I don't. Draymond's in a tough spot trying to answer these questions coming down the stretch because the focus should be just trying to win a championship.
Nick, how much of KD's decision do you think will be because of Draymond Green?
Well, I think it's a part of it. I think how happy you are at work with the people you work with, of course, plays into whether or not you want to change where you work. I think a bigger part of the decision will be what the Warriors do this postseason. If they get knocked out, if they don't three-peat, I don't see a scenario where Kevin Durant stays. I think Kevin Durant and people around the league think Kevin Durant has not made up his mind, but has all but made up his mind that he's coming to New York. He's setting up his businesses off the court in New York. Rich Kleiman's doing office space in New York.
The only decision being whether they win a championship or not.
Well, even if they win the championship, I think he's leaving. But the point Chris Broussard makes, which is if you win the title, nobody's won 4 in a row since who? Russell Celtics. Like, you could, if you're finals MVP and you win 3 of them, do you want to go for 4 there? Play 1 year at the new arena in San Francisco. Like, could that sway him at the last minute? But if they get knocked out, whether it's by the Rockets or in the NBA Finals, then a decision that I think is all but made up becomes officially made up.
Yeah, I don't think Draymond plays any role in KD's decision to leave because most of the rumors that we heard about KD were before the season. And KD signed his contract before they had the conversation where Draymond told him on the bench, you can leave. There hadn't been anything come out of the locker room as far as Draymond and KD. There is a certain part to Draymond on a sports team that you need. KD is not an edgy guy. Steph's not an edgy guy. Klay's not an edgy guy. You need a guy who has a motor like Draymond. And let's not, because I know we have all this shooting talent, but man, one of the secret sauces is Draymond and his intensity. Draymond makes them play defense, too. Draymond sacrificed a lot of his game so they can play the way they want to. So for me, I think that we are, I would be hard-pressed to prove Kevin Durant, One of the reasons why he's leaving is Draymond. I believe he already had his mind made up. Those business concepts, those partnerships, those things are beyond some type of teammate.
All right, let's stay in the NBA. The league that belongs to LeBron may soon belong to Giannis. Giannis on the cusp of possibly winning his first MVP and maybe supplanting LeBron as the best player in the world, which sounds nuts to the Greek freak himself, who said recently he never saw himself as, quote, being that LeBron type of player. See, is Giannis in line to replace LeBron as the best player in the NBA?
I mean, I don't know if he's in line to replace him. This playoffs, what we do in this playoffs. And I just still believe that Kevin Durant and Steph Curry are going to have something to say about this. Like, all of a sudden, we have this conversation. Who's going to be the image of the league going forward? Like, we don't include Steph in KD. Man, KD goes to New York. Man, they get a little Kyrie. Man, they get the excitement back in the garden. Oh, KD going to be up for the conversation because he could be going for 30 a night the way Harden has been doing. And we know Steph is going to be part of the conversation. He's adorable. He's got the type of game, man, that people love. He's got that look. Man, he is the face of that franchise, multiple championships. He's going to be in the running. So I don't think it's a foregone conclusion that Giannis is the next heir apparent to what LeBron has been to the NBA.
I don't think it's a foregone conclusion, even though this is the guy that I've been pegging as the next best player in the league for a few years. I think it's next year's going to be so intriguing in this regard because C's point that if LeBron's not in the playoffs to defend his title, someone's going to, at the end of these playoffs, at least temporarily take it. And then assuming KD leaves, to me there's five guys next year that will be in the running for it. LeBron will be in the running to take it back. Giannis, who you mentioned, KD on his own team, Steph on his own team, and James Harden. James Harden, he might never be the face of the league, but when we're talking about the best player, what Harden does in this postseason and what the Rockets do if they continue this another year next year, those five guys, it'll be one of those five, and it'll be up for grabs. Like, Steph is the one that I think does get overlooked in this because Steph was the closest to taking it from LeBron that anyone has been in this decade. Like, if they had finished that series when they were up 3-1 and he was unanimous MVP and back-to-back MVP and LeBron didn't have that three-game stretch at the end of those finals, Steph would have taken it. And then Kevin Durant maybe doesn't go there. Maybe it's just Steph's award moving forward or unofficial title moving forward. But so Giannis is certainly, I think, the best bet, but he's not the only bet. There's four other guys that can do it.
I think the person that's not on the radar that no one's talking about because we've forgotten, that's Anthony Davis. And Anthony Davis, to me, is a better defensive player than Giannis, a better rim protector, and he is a better offensive player. Imagine if AD goes to Los Angeles with LeBron. Him playing with the best player he's ever played with. You're going to have to put him in the conversation. I know you brought LeBron. To me, that we're missing AD. Because let's not forget what his game is like. Can shoot the three. Got the mid-range. Got a post game. Can get out on the break. We know he can defend. He can defend all five positions. He's no liability. He's a rim protector. Let's not forget Anthony Davis and his overall talent. I know people, he demanded a trade. So sometimes, a lot of times, Paul George, you fall out of graces with people. But let's not forget the talent that we saw. And if he is partnered with LeBron James, I believe he's going to be part of that conversation.
And Anthony Davis is in the same weak spot this year that LeBron's in, which is, at least for this season, you're not eligible for this if you right. can't get your team to the playoffs. And even if before they were resting him and on minutes restriction, the reason he demanded a trade when he did was the team was not positioned to make the playoffs. So to bring it full circle back to Giannis, I think people are, because they're in Milwaukee and people aren't watching, I don't know if people realize what Giannis at age 24 is doing. Like, here's Giannis' age 24 season against somebody else's, and I think it'll surprise you. So Giannis has him clipped in everything, barely in points, barely in rebounds, by a lot in assists, and barely in field goal percentage. Both age 24 season. Who's the other guy? If we can show it, please. That's Shaq's first year with the Lakers. Wait, Giannis, because he's not a center and because he's not a low post guy, we send 13 rebounds a game is insane. To go along with six assists a game is almost unheard of. You mentioned that you think Anthony Davis is a better defender than Giannis. That's arguable, but it's not because Giannis isn't a great defender. It's because Anthony Davis at his peak has the argument he's defensive player of the year caliber defender. Right now, Giannis His only weakness is outside shooting, and it's not preventing him from scoring. And his progression, every year in his career, he's increased points, rebounds, and field goal percentage. Every single year, each of those categories. And so you're seeing him get better, and now you're seeing the team's success.
You mentioned him being in Milwaukee sometimes hides him from others that aren't watching. If you put a guy like Giannis on one of the coasts in L.A. or in New York, how big of a star could he be?
I don't think it's always that way. People always think, well, man, you go to a bigger city. Giannis is not meant for the big city. He's not from the United States. New York, L.A., it don't matter. He wants to be in Milwaukee. I don't think because of his arc and where he came from and because of inability to shoot that he would be any more popular than he is right now. I think that he's been able to develop. LeBron going to the West helped him out. But right now, I believe that it's the right timing. But he wasn't a player Steph was. He wasn't a player Harden was. He wasn't those players. He has developed into the player that he is now. I don't think that it makes that much of a difference, especially with someone who was not born and raised in the United States. Their arc to success is totally different than guys we have seen through the prep ranks, AAU, and then even those who potentially go to college for a year or two.
I don't think it matters where he plays nearly as much as it matters when he plays. And by that I mean what Giannis needs is a deep playoff run. And what Giannis needs is to be center stage national television only game of the night on for 6 weeks. That's what any of these guys need. That's what any of these guys.
And he needs to be able to put up playoff type numbers in that. Last year in the playoffs, he wasn't in the conversation of best players in the world because there were parts in the game he disappeared. Now, this year he came back. Man, he increased his jump shot, the range on his jump shot, how he can get to the hole, really worked on his dribbling ability. So now what he can do, but in the playoffs, that's going to be determined Giannis's arc.
Yeah, how many rounds can the Bucks get to? Like, they have to get to at least the Eastern Conference Finals for him to continue this discussion. They make the NBA Finals. I think he's probably the guy people are saying, is he the best player in the world? And if they win the championship and they're going to have the number one seed in all of basketball, then it won't even be a discussion. People go into next season with people considering him the best player in the league. But no matter what happens, those five guys, Chris would include Anthony Davis as six, are all going to be, it's going to be like the old WWE ladder match where I don't even remember what it's called, where the belt's hanging above the ring. Like somebody's going to run, climb up and grab it.
He is in phenomenal shape. I will just say that.
Oh, Giannis one of the reasons
he's
his rebounding.
Weight. Yep.
Yeah, he's gotten so much stronger.
All right, take a break. Coming up, are the Cardinals a lock to take Kyler Murray? That's ahead on First Things First. Back here, First Things First, Super Bowl champ Chris Kenny in the house. Good morning.
What up, man?
Chris
Kenny in the house.
Okay. He's comfortable with himself. He's just not comfortable.
Man, shake his hand like a man.
Listen, what has become a theme all week?
We were undefeated on the opening.
Nick Wright. Mm-hmm. What up, man?
Yeah.
Well, I was going to compliment you, but now I guess we're pressed for time, so we'll move
can't
on.
Can't you tell me you're feeling good,
Nick? Not me.
I don't dispute that. I was simply forget them. Jenna was about to tell you how good you smell. I was trying to prevent that from happening.
Jenna, let's just get to it so Nick can get to his numbers. Let's do that.
Sentence. Here we go. Forget it. Giants may be committed to Eli Manning again this year, but it's obvious they are still in the market for a quarterback. A few weeks ago, rumors began swirling that Seahawks quarterback Russell Wilson could fill that void by forcing a trade to New York. Wilson addressed these rumors with Jimmy Fallon saying, quote, I'm not sure the Seahawks are going to let me get away. Chris Canty, are the Seahawks playing with fire by not locking up Russell Wilson?
I don't think the Seahawks are playing with fire because the Seattle Seahawks can control Russell Wilson for the next 3 years at a reasonable rate. I mean, he's going into the final year of his contract in his age 30 season. I think he accounts for $25 million on their salary cap. The current contract is paying him out $22 million in average annual value. The Seahawks can franchise tag him in 2020 for $30.3 million and then in 2021 for $36.4. So, I mean, if you look at the next, 3 years, you're talking about an $88, $89 million commitment. So that's what Seattle would be faced with. Now, the question becomes, do the Seattle Seahawks want to pay Russell Wilson the going rate for quarterbacks? We already know what that's going to be. Aaron Rodgers is making $34 million a year on his contract extension. Russell Wilson is going to want to eclipse that. CC, we know the guys, when you consider the best at their position, the next to get paid is going to be the highest paid.
Absolutely.
So Seattle has got to ask themselves a tough question. Do we want to commit the actual cash dollars to Russell Wilson? I can't answer that based on where they're at. That's something that John Schneider and Pete Carroll have to figure out.
I think they'd be crazy not to. I think Russell Wilson is a superstar quarterback in this league. I think he's been underrated from almost the word go. He is the best part of their offense and has been the best part of their offense almost the entirety of his run there, certainly post-rookie season. But if they are going to commit this type of money to him, then they need to evolve as an offense. It doesn't make sense to me to pay $35 million a year against your cap or in cash to a quarterback if you're going to run the Brian Schottenheimer offense we saw in that playoff game. If you're going to run an offense that is an offense you would run if you don't trust your quarterback, when Russell Wilson's giving you no reason not to trust him. So I would commit to him. I also would, once I commit to him, or even before I commit to him, allow Russell Wilson to do more Russell Wilson things and not rely on an improved but not great offensive line and an improved but not great on a per-carry basis running game. Mm. They were the most effective running team in football last year as far as total yardage, but that was because they ran the ball more than any team in football. And I understand the philosophy, but I feel like it puts a ceiling on them. So I would commit to Russell Wilson, and I would revamp the way I run that offense a little bit around Russell Wilson.
Well, their style is, I'm going to try to explain it to people, is Pete Carroll is always about, he's an old-school coach like Bill Parcells. He wants prototype size, power, and speed at every position. When his team gets off the bus, off the airplane, they're going to be ginormous, and they're going to be able to run. That's what Pete Carroll does. Everywhere he's been, he has built a big, powerful football team. That's what took him to 2 Super Bowls. That's what won those national championships. Like, that's what Pete Carroll does. So it's not Brian Schottenheimer. It's not his fault. It's a what are we going to do as a team philosophy-wise? Regardless of who we have at quarterback. That's who Pete Carroll believes. That's how he believes in winning football games. Mm-hmm. He believes in forcing his will on the opposition. Quarterback making the minimum amount of mistakes. I'm going to have a top 10 defense. I'm going to get after him. And that's just the way that he's going to build a football team. Nick Saban, he's going to build his football team a certain way. These guys have been very, very successful at it. And if you look in the National Football League, outside of Belichick, you got Sean Payton. Who else would you say has been the most consistent as far as presenting a product out there, coaching football, adjusting to how you're going to play football? Because Pete Carroll is the one who introduced the rules of how they're going to tackle, hawk tackling, where they're going to take the head out, where you can still be physical. So I believe Pete Carroll was into changing. But this is not about Russell Wilson. This is how we're going to run our program. And right now, him and John Snyder, with the owner passed away in Paul Allen, they don't have anyone to answer to. So for me, I believe that they're playing with fire. Russell Wilson is one of the top quarterbacks, and also one of the top leaders. You're not going to have a problem with Russell Wilson. So for me, I would sign him to a long-term deal, and I would get it done. So that's not an answer I want Russell Wilson. He typically says the corporate thing to every question. That's not the answer I want Russell Wilson to be like, man, I wonder, is Seattle going to let me get away? That I didn't like that response because that was not on the brand, which I see for Russell Wilson.
Well, my only question to that is how much of that is a negotiating ploy to try to get things kicked off? Because to this point in the offseason, John Snyder hadn't approached Russell Wilson's camp for a contract extension. Now, I know that that's not outside of the norm in terms of how John Snyder operates, because if you go back to 2015 when they were trying to hammer out an extension coming off of that loss mm-hmm. in the Super Bowl, you remember they waited until the end of July before they got that deal actually done. But in looking at this situation with the contract, the negotiation is not going to take place in a vacuum. There are going to be some other young quarterbacks that are going to be getting paid. Jared Goff is going to get paid pretty soon. Pat Mahomes is going to get a mega extension. Carson Wentz. So, I mean, the going rate is only going to continue to go up. Mm-hmm. So if Seattle wants to get something done, if Russell Wilson is a part of the long-term plan, then they need to let this happen sooner rather than later.
Nick, where would you rank Russell Wilson? Top 5 quarterback?
Oh, to me, he's definitely a top 5 quarterback.
No question.
Rodgers, Brady, Breeze, and then to me, it's Russell Wilson.
95% of what we talk about on here is a successful team starts with a great quarterback, a great leader, like you talked about, a guy who can do it on the field and off the field. Seattle has that. Why wouldn't they want to lock him up?
Well, I think they do, but to Chris's point about how Pete Carroll builds the team, you brought in the Nick Saban example. Nick Saban has clearly shown at the college level, yes, it's great to have Tua. It's great to have this superstar quarterback. But I can win by building a great other 52 or in college 80 guys. And so in a hard cap sport, even with the salary cap going up, even with the price of quarterbacks going up, the only reason that I think this is a discussion is I think John Schneider and Pete Carroll, with no one to answer to, which is an interesting point I hadn't thought of, are they saying, man, If we spend that $35 million on three star players, when we are going to build a team that isn't independent of the quarterback but isn't as quarterback reliant as some other teams, is that better? And does Russell Wilson have a wandering eye to New York, which is your point about he's the worst interview in the world because he always says the exact right thing. That answer to Jimmy Fallon wasn't the exact right thing. It wasn't on brand for Russell Wilson unless he was trying to make a point with it.
You know, and I'm going to tell you guys something, too, now. What they run the risk of is, man, be careful. If the rumors are true that Russell's wife, Sierra, she might not want to be in Seattle. She might want to be in New York, maybe to help her career. Listen, now, she's sleeping with the guy every night. She's whispering in both of his ears. Now, there's a power that a woman has now. John Snyder, Pete Carroll, don't play. All right? Because mama has power. All right? And what she says and where a guy wants to be could change his mindset.
Well, the one thing I will say, and you're absolutely right about that part of it, CC, but in looking at this Russell Wilson situation, he's an elite quarterback, no doubt. But I wonder, will we ever evolve to the point in pro football where general managers and coaches from a philosophy standpoint will look at it and say, you know what? That going rate for the quarterback, I don't feel like I necessarily have to do that. Now, I know this
I can find, like Snyder found him, I can find another.
Exactly. It's not necessarily an apples-to-apples comparison, but we see it in pro baseball, right? Remember, starting pitchers were getting paid $31, $32 million a year. Zach Greinke getting paid $34 million a year. They're not doing that more with starting pitchers.
And the idea of, are we better off on a revolving rookie quarterback scale if we can pick the right rookie quarterback and then have all this talent around him? We haven't seen a team do it that has a star quarterback. One day it'll happen.
Mama has what? Mama has your
power.
Ear?
Power.
Mama has power.
Yes.
That was my takeaway. And you still smell really good.
That's what I'm talking
whole
about.
Whole human Thank away from
you.
Each
She's
other.
She's trying to keep Mama happy.
Come back a little
That's
later
the
in the show.
Why.
Coming up is Draymond pushing KD out the door next on First Things First. Back here, First Things First. Look who's here. That guy, NBA champ Steven Jackson.
Come on, first day of spring. Look at it. Come on. Flowers on the tie.
Hey, I'm trying to be like you.
You got that Obama blue on and everything.
To be like you.
You look like a preacher today, Steven.
Amen.
You look good, man.
Let the church say amen.
Man, pass the offering plate.
What are laughing about? Kevin Durant and the Warriors took care of business last night with a 117-107. But when you're all laughing, I'm all laughing. A win over Minnesota. However, much speculation remains whether or not KD will stay with Golden State after the season. Draymond Green commented on the rumors, saying, whatever happens this summer happens. Whatever the hell he do, he does. If he go, he go. If he stay, he stay. But while he's here, we're going to win another championship. It's just that simple. Nothing else matters. All right, Stephen, what was your reaction to what Draymond had to say about KD?
He's exactly right. How can you approach it any other way? You don't know what this man going to do at the end of the season. You didn't know he was coming there. You know, I remember you calling him after they lost, begging him to come, you know. But nobody knows. You know, like I said, I'm friends with KD. I talked to him a couple times, and I don't know. You know what I mean? I've asked him, and I don't know. So Draymond is approaching this the right way. We're going to win championships while you're here, and if you leave, you know, we'll deal with it.
So do you really believe 100%? Because even with you talking to him, when you're traveling with guys, you give off a certain vibe. And there is no question that Draymond, earlier in the season, when what he said to KD, that you can leave right now, that he had thought that he was going to leave.
No question.
But you do get that feeling when you're with guys, more so than, you know, when you're talking to guys, you have relationships. I can tell a guy something on the phone, but man, I'm traveling with you. I see your body language. You know when people aren't totally engrossed in what they're doing every day. And I think what they've witnessed, KD doesn't have the same attitude he had in year one and year two. In year number one, let's remember, KD was a monster defensively. Man, he was rim protecting. He was running the court. He was playing a game like, wow, we didn't even know he could do
that. The best he'd ever played. Mm-hmm. And people were mad at him because of the decision he made, and it got overlooked.
And the bigger the stage, the better he got. Steph, man, the reason why he didn't get MVP in those finals, he wasn't as good as KD. There was a couple games that, man, Steph was he on the court. But KD facing LeBron in those situations, man, KD looked like the best player in the world. And for Draymond, especially early in the season, for him to say that and have that type of exchange, because Draymond wouldn't let it go. It wasn't like, oh, no, you can go on. It was something personal, as if he had a feeling.
And in your opinion, does that exchange have any impact moving forward once the season's over?
Well, I mean, you can't call me a B-word and I just forget it.
Right.
You can't. So obviously you can forget it to move on and be professional, do your job, but in the back of your mind, that's how you really feel about me. You know, so I know KD is thinking about that, and I know that argument had a lot to do with KD's, was going to have a lot to do with KD's decision, but at the end of the day, they both professionals.
Yes.
And they understand, you know, that sometimes you say things out of frustration, but you don't say that word and not mean it.
Well, and the other, when you say they're both professionals, that's a cousin to this is a business.
Right.
And on the business side of things, for Draymond Green, it's better for him if Kevin Durant leaves.
Well, no question, because he can get paid.
He can get paid. Mm-hmm. Listen, Steph got paid. Everyone's talking about the money Mike Trout just signed to, and I get it, it's a ton of money. Steph makes more per year than Mike Trout or anybody right now. Like, so Steph got his money. Klay is about to get his money.
He deserves it.
And he deserves it at the end of this summer, or at the beginning of this summer. Draymond has 1 year left on his deal. Draymond knows whether the Warriors are saying it or not. I know Joe Lacob's saying we'll spend whatever. Okay, if Kevin Durant re-ups, they're going to look at that tax bill and look at that team and say, do we really want to give Draymond Green a max? If we have Kevin Durant re-upped, if we have Klay Thompson re-upped, Steph is already re-upped, and what would the market for Draymond Green actually be?
And you could possibly get Boogie back.
Right. So there's a lot of things there that they if Kevin Durant re-ups that impact Draymond Green's life negatively, and it's not as if Draymond would have to make the decision, do I want money or titles? You said earlier that if Kevin Durant leaves, the favorites in Vegas for next season will be the Golden State Warriors still.
Yes.
Draymond definitely believes with, or what did he say to him? We won without you, bro. Like, they believe they can win without him. So for Draymond, it is not in his interest to recruit Kevin Durant to stay the way he recruited him to come there. So I understand that aspect.
I think it's really interesting that you've spoken to Kevin Durant and you still don't know what his plans are. Do you think any of that decision will be based on whether they win the title or not? Do you have a better chance of staying if he wins the title?
Well, the only thing I can say that I know, he wants that bag. He deserves the bag and he wants the bag and he's focused on getting that bag. I think right now he's worried about winning another championship, but you know, he's focused on the money. But like we said, Boogie or Draymond, I kind of go with Boogie. Boogie gives you a lot more. He can pass, you know, if Boogie.
Well, that's almost a separate discussion.
But Draymond knows. But yes, I think KD knows what he's going to do, but he's the only one that knows.
Well, and when you say could what they do in the finals affect it or in the playoffs affect it, I disagree with what you said right there. I don't think Kevin even knows right now. I don't think he knows definitively. I think he knows where he's leaning. Mm-hmm. I think he knows what his plan is.
I don't think if they win or not matters.
Do you don't think that if they win, they have a better chance of staying?
Because if he win or not, he's still getting the bag.
Right, but if they
so if they don't get home, that's money.
I'm just being real as possible. It don't matter.
Everybody knew what it meant, Jenna.
No,
except for
six
you
people
and
in
I had,
my ear
had
told me.
To
six people were like,
she
Jenna,
looked
that
to me while
you were
talking, she's like, bag.
The bag.
But if they lose, it is an easier exit. If they lose, then people aren't going to say, because guys get criticized. Hell, Mike Trout got criticized for staying. Kevin Durant got criticized for leaving. Guys get criticized no matter what.
But if they win,
people are going to say, you're giving up a chance to win four in a row? Nobody's won four in a row in the modern NBA
history.
To me, it
has to be more than the money. Because he can actually get more money if he stayed in Golden
State. That's what I'm saying.
But if he was just into getting money, why would he be potentially looking at office space and trying to do all the other things they're doing off the court? Because you're friends with him. You know his aspirations and everything are real. And are those aspirations, is he able to take advantage of them by being in Golden State? So for me, I don't think winning or losing matters. I believe KD is leaving. And I believe it is a destination is New York City because of all the money bags that he can pick up and all the other things that he can do outside of basketball.
Because if it was just who can give me the highest NBA salary, this wouldn't be he would have announced he's coming back.
Right.
This wouldn't have been a story year after year. It is the money Kevin Durant. He's one of Kevin Durant, LeBron, Steph. Those three guys are on a tier different than everyone else in the league as far as what they can make outside of basketball.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Harden makes a ton of money out, but those three guys are on a separate tier. And for Kevin Durant to be able to set up his own East Coast empire, essentially, with LeBron out west, with Steph out west, with Harden down in Texas, with Giannis in Milwaukee, like, there is an enormous opportunity for him to make off-court money and to add a different chapter to his legacy, which is potentially rejuvenating the New York Knicks, who haven't won a title in 45 years.
Stay with us.
Yes.
One more second. Sounds good. Steven, stick around. Coming up, are LeBron's days as the best player in the league already over? That's next on First Things First. Sunday, the Monster Energy Series moves over to FS1 as NASCAR's finest battle in Martinsville. It all starts at 2 Eastern, only on FS1 and the Fox Sports app. Back here with Stephen Jackson. All right, Stephen, we'll get to LeBron in a second, but first, a couple of plays from last night. Rockets, Hawks, Chris Paul showing off the handles.
That's another bag you're talking about.
Over to Kenneth Faried.
You fouled the mess out of Kenneth Faried. You don't let this highlight go. You fouled the mess out of him. He's got too nice.
What about Chris Paul, man?
That's a good move. That's a great move. That's a great move. But
Kenneth Faried, playing with. Stephen's just mad that Kenneth Faried didn't get laid out.
Yes.
And he's mad Harden didn't get laid out.
No, this is the worst. This is a scary defense. I really don't want to guard you, so I'm going to make it look good. And that's what happens when you're not playing real defense. You get made look stupid.
Spin Harden. Around.
You got me going
in circles. Making Kent Bazemore look silly.
Doom, doom, doom. Come on, man. That's not NBA defense. Are you kidding me?
Keep going.
Hornets Sixers, Kemba Walker dancing around the Philly defense and finishes a nice reverse. Go for it. What?
Ooh, that's special. Oh. I mean, I can't really say nothing, but you!
Hornets would have won this game if Kemba didn't pick up that early foul trouble. He had to sit, I think, for 17 consecutive minutes because he was in foul trouble early. And that Philly didn't take full advantage of that, but it looked like Charlotte was poised to win last night with Philly not having Embiid. But Ben Simmons was outstanding.
I love Charlotte. You get to get your thing off. You get the ball out.
All right, sticking with the NBA, the league that belongs to LeBron may soon belong to Giannis Antetokounmpo. Giannis is on the cusp of possibly winning his first MVP and maybe supplanting LeBron as the best player in the world, which sounds nuts to the Greek freak himself, who said recently he never saw himself as being that LeBron type of player. Stephen, is Giannis in line to replace LeBron as the best player in the NBA? Not the face of the NBA, but the best player in the NBA.
I still got KD. Giannis might be the MVP this year, but KD been doing it for a while. If LeBron's not at the top, I'm not putting nobody ahead of him but KD. I think LeBron is still there. I think you have to do more than what he's doing, what he's done so far. You have to win a couple of championships. You have to dominate a couple of years. He's been okay. He dominated the last 2 years, but he has to win a championship. He has to be more dominant to be the best player in the league. I have to go with KD. Two finals MVPs. He's been dominating since he's gotten the league. The Greek Freak is definitely on their heels, but not yet.
So do you think KD has already supplanted LeBron, or you just think KD is going to be the next guy or the guy to do it?
Well, to me, last 2 years, LeBron and KD have been neck and neck. I haven't had LeBron past him, but LeBron is the face of the league for more than one reason.
Yes.
It's not just basketball. It's what he does on the court. It's what he's done off the court. It's what he's done for the whole league, for players, for guys like, even guys like me. You know, him and Chris Paul, what they're doing in the Players Association to get guys, retire guys. He's done stuff for everybody in the league, and that's why he's the face of the league. And Greek Freak has to do way more to be in those shoes.
And it took LeBron some time to ascend to this, so it's hard to get off of that mountain when it took him the time and building his brand. I think you bring up a great point. It's more than just basketball. It's every stance that he's taken as far as social media, what he's going to do as far as social justice, the stance that he's taken, supporting NFL players. It's everything behind the scenes, making sure that the guys that paved the way in the NBA, the legends of the game, to make sure that they're taken care of because they're at the financial height of the NBA. But LeBron has enough to look back and be like, these guys made it possible for us to do this. So let's try to take care of them in a better way. Because in the NFL, they don't do that. The players, when they negotiate a deal, they don't look back and be like, oh, man, they paved the way for it. No, they look, man, what can we do it? That's why they signed a bad collective bargaining agreement. That's why they have the problem. It's not the same as the NBA. So what LeBron has done on and off the court, even putting together the first big three of the modern day era in Miami, that helped the NBA. That helped these current players get to where they are. So you make a great point of being the face of the NBA and being the best player. Sometimes they run together.
But they're not always the same thing.
Nope.
Shaq was the face of the NBA before and after he was the best player in the league. Mm-hmm. You know, so Shaq was the face of the NBA probably a year before.
Shaq was the first seven-footer that people liked.
Yeah.
No one likes a giant. Until we saw Shaq
100%.
Diving on the floor, laughing,
dancing,
break dancing,
all these
things. We've never seen anyone that was funny and carried it like Shaq
and
did.
And so they're very often the same guy, but they're not always the same guy. Moses Malone was the best player in the league for 3 years. He was never the face of the league. It went from Kareem to Magic and Larry, but Moses was the best player. So when we're talking about best player,
someone's going to temporarily get that crown this postseason because LeBron's not going to be there. For 2 months, basketball is going to be played without LeBron James. But that's going to be basically like an interim title.
Right.
And then next year, to me, Stephen, I think there's five guys above all else that are going to be in the running for it. Giannis, absolutely in the running for it. Harden, we cannot disrespect what he's done over the last five seasons. He's going to have his this year his fourth, first or second in the MVP over the last 5 years. LeBron will have a chance to get it back or keep it, depending on your perspective. Kevin Durant, especially if he goes to his own team. And then there's Steph, who Steph, I thought, was the closest anyone has been to taking it from LeBron. When he wins the MVP, follows up with a unanimous MVP, and then they're up 3-1 in the finals. Like, at that moment, I think people thought, well, Steph is taking it from LeBron, but we know what happened after that, and then KD got there, and it kind of undercut Steph's case. Those five guys, to me, someone's going to have the official title, if such a thing exists, after next season.
Well, I feel like if anybody, you're right, it is Steph. Handles himself right on and off the court. He does the same thing with LeBron and speaking on social issues.
Yep.
Great father, great husband. Yep. Like if that's what you're looking for, then that's the
and
perfect
the credentials.
Face. And the credentials
the,
as well.
The MVPs, the championships, the
ability,
success.
Branding.
KD don't want to be that. KD don't want to
no,
be that.
No,
he don't want to be that.
And he shouldn't be. But I'm just believing, and I told Nick this earlier, the name left off the list is Anthony Davis. Because with LeBron James.
Yes.
Imagine if they trade him. With LeBron James and the way LeBron plays and defers to other players, Anthony Davis would be in that conversation for me as far as the best players. And I believe that how this playoffs is played out, man, is going to have a lot to do with who that next guy is. Because if KD goes to New York, man, KD going to have a say with him and Steph.
Greek, if you want to be the face of the league, stop wearing Gucci, baby.
All right.
Oh, yeah, I'm Gucci at the All-Star.
That's a political statement.
That's one step you got to take, Chief.
But it's okay. That's free advice from Steven Jackson.
Stay down.
On the basketball side of things, you mentioned earlier, Jenna, that Giannis's body and how impressed you are with the physicality that he's added.
At 24.
I'm so glad you mentioned that. Let me show you something, Steven, real quick. Here's Giannis this year. He's 24 years old. And the numbers are bananas. 27.5 a game, 13 rebounds, 6 assists, 58% from the field.
That's who that is.
You know who that is on the other side? Who is it?
Diesel.
Shaq Diesel at 24.
Yeah, the rebounds.
Exactly yep. Right. Shaq at 24. Giannis has him clipped in everything. He's rebounding more than 24-year-old Shaq. And by the way, Giannis, not only he's improved his points, rebounds, and field goal percentage every year of his career while adding bulk every year of his career, but he's doing it this year in 33 minutes per game. Mm-hmm. He's 37th in the league in minutes per game. So it's not like 24-year-old LeBron had unbelievable numbers. He was also leading the league in minutes per game because those Cavs team didn't have enough talent. Mm-hmm. They didn't have necessarily great coaching. He was playing 38, 39 minutes
right.
And doing everything for him. For Giannis to be filling up those counting stats while playing 8 minutes a quarter is unbelievable. And the combination of 13 rebounds and 5-plus assists,
right.
That's one-of-one NBA history type of stuff if he does it in the postseason. And that's the one thing for him. We've never seen him on a long postseason run. We've never really seen him on a postseason run.
Yes.
How do you think people are going to guard him differently in the postseason?
If y'all going to win, he's going to hit 8-9 threes to win this game. They're going to pack the paint. If you want to show us that you can hit 9 threes to win a game, go ahead and do it. You see what Philly did last game. They put Joel Embiid on him and let him take those threes. He hit 4 or 5, but they still lost. It's all about winning in the playoffs.
All right, Stephen, we'll see you later on the show. Coming up, the Oakland Raiders make yet another controversial move. That's next on First Things First. Back here, First Things First, we're going viral. Former Ohio State quarterback Tate Martell has gained immediate eligibility by the NCAA to play for the Miami Hurricanes this season. And former Miami quarterback recruit Alex Rodriguez was excited about the news, tweeting, "Can't wait, let's go."
See, this guy was, I think, the number one player in the country out of high school.
At one point.
Mm-hmm. So, but with your experience with him being at Ohio State briefly, how good of a player is he for Miami Hurricanes?
Tate Martell's a very good player. Dual threat quarterback, can throw it and run it, is a little bit undersized. Came out of a great program. Bishop Gorman out of Las Vegas was a champion there. So, yes, they have improved their roster. Tate Martell, he is a baller. Keep your eyes on him.
Remember, they were trying to get Jalen Hurts to transfer to the University of Miami. They get Tate Martell instead. The guy was one of the stars coming out of high school, and they haven't heard much from him.
And then obviously not important at all, has a great name. Great quarterback name.
Tate Martell. Oh, no, that matters.
You want that guy.
That absolutely matters, Jenna.
Good point.
First one of the day.
Time for stories to start your morning, brought to you by the unexpected energy of ExxonMobil. So after rumors of joining the Lakers, Doc Rivers said yesterday he has already agreed to a multi-year extension with the Clippers. Well-timed. Nick, what did you make of this?
I thought it was very interesting that the extension he signed 10 months ago with the Clippers had an opt-out for this summer. And this new extension, while, see, you said earlier that you had heard they had been working on it and it was
yes.
in place,
mm-hmm.
hadn't been signed. I wonder if they went to that contract and scribbled out instead of $11 million, it's now $12 million per. It was a very, I think, interestingly timed leak that worked in Doc's favor. It because as I've been led to believe, the contract was not signed until yesterday, even if it was in place. So now it's not just a 2-year extension; it is a multi-year extension, keeping Doc with the Clippers, and this is great for their recruitment of Kawhi Leonard this summer.
Yes, Doc's not leaving. Jerry West is not going to let him to leave. Steve Ballmer's not going to allow him to leave. He's happy in his job, and if he was to be a free agent, why would we just think that the Lakers? Man, there would be a handful of teams want Doc Rivers on the sideline. Good move by Doc. Happy for him. Watch out. Kawhi.
I was just going to say.
Watch out.
Yep.
Big news.
Big night for D'Angelo Russell last night. He had 44 points, including 27 in the fourth quarter, in a win over the Kings. CeCe, how impressive was D'Angelo's night?
Oh, he's nasty, man. Just give him the trophy, man. We don't need to play these last few games and everything. Most improved in the NBA. Lakers gave up on him. Magic Johnson said he wasn't a good leader, couldn't lead his ball club. Last night, down 25, one of the great fourth quarters you'll ever want to see. Doing it from the lefty side, so it's always different when you see someone who shoots it lefty. But, man, much respect to how he's grown his game, made some big mistakes on and off the court as a young player, right now emerged this year making his first All-Star.
And there's some revisionist history that, oh, the Lakers had to move on from him to create the space for LeBron. No, they did not. The Lakers could have held on to him and said they sold incredibly low on the number 2 overall pick. He's now becoming the guy people thought he would be coming out of college. One note on the game last night, because as you mentioned, down 25 going into the fourth quarter.
Yes.
In the shot clock era, teams down 25 plus going into the fourth were 3 and 3,028.
Oh my God.
And the Nets got the win last
night.
Wow. He was extraordinary.
All right, to the NFL now.
Go ahead, Jenna.
The Cowboys have reportedly signed former Packer Randall Cobb to a 1-year, $5 million deal. Dallas needed a pass catcher. Cobb catches passes. Smart pickup, CC.
Oh, absolutely. He increases their overall speed, the veteran experience that they have. I like the fact that also, if Michael Gallup, if he doesn't emerge the way he was last season, or he gets nicked, or Amari Cooper gets nicked and they miss a series, miss a game or two, Randall Cobb can step in as a starter and be able to fill that void. Great locker room guy. Can play all three positions. You can also line him up in the backfield. He has shown in Green Bay he could run the ball and come out of the backfield and run pass routes. I like it. I like the adding him to the mix in Dallas.
No character questions. No what is his yep. top-end production questions. Questions for him are injury, more so than with your typical mm-hmm. player. Last year he had that monster game in week one, then didn't have more than 45 yards in any game moving forward. But the other thing I like for Dallas is they now have a receiving core that makes perfect sense. Stud number one in Amari Cooper,
yes.
a guy that they drafted in the top 100 picks in Michael Gallup
yep.
to be your number two, and a veteran slot receiver that's way better than Cole Beasley, who in a pinch, like you said, can go play on the outside,
mm-hmm.
is a great move at a great value for the Cowboys.
All right, on to the Raiders now. They've certainly been busy this offseason. Their latest addition, signing controversial linebacker Vontaze Burfict to a 1-year deal. Burfict has been suspended multiple times for a dirty play. One of those suspensions for a dirty hit on new Raider Antonio Brown back in 2015. AB commented on the move on Twitter, saying, "Just talk to Vontaze, black and silver baby, hashtag Raider Nation, hashtag bully season." See, what'd you make of this pickup?
Well, I'm glad AB talked to him, because I would have a problem playing with him. Because the one thing that I've learned in being associated with the NFL for as long as I have, and that being over 30 years, that the game is a violent game. But there is a brotherhood that's involved with the game that's really, really special. And me and guys that have played, man, we have endearing friendships and we're able to tell stories and everything. The reason why was because we're able to enjoy the league. And we believe in playing hard, and we believe in playing fair. And Vontaze Burfict, he is not a part of that brotherhood, because you can't take the type of liberties that he has taken, where he was playing a certain position and went out of his way to cheap shot a guy. And most of the time, it's always when a guy is not looking.
It's most vulnerable.
And anyone, I know people would be like, they're, oh, man, it's good when he's on your team and it's bad when he's on the opposition. No, it's not. We're trying to outrule. We're trying to take this out of pro football. People talking about in suburban areas why kids aren't playing football, why their parents are keeping them out of football, is because of stuff like that. No one is signed up to take a hit like that. And all the rules have prevented players, and players have trained themselves so that, no, I'm not in that position. And Vontaze Burfict, what has he done? Through being suspended, repeatedly fined and warned by coaches, teammates, and everything, he has continued to just to run through the red light as if it does not exist. This is not the 60s. And I went back and talked to one of the great linebackers who ever played this game, Willie Lanier. And he always talks about playing the game the right way. And this guy wouldn't even be accepted to playing football in the 60s. So why should I, in this day and age where we're trying to encourage kids to play the game that I love, that they would allow someone on the field who does not believe that same way? He does not take into consideration, oh, this is a brotherhood. He doesn't care. The rules have changed. He has been warned. And he has repeatedly not abided by the corrections that other players.
He doesn't change his behavior at all.
So for me, AB, you're a better man than me. All right, we're in this new era. Yeah, it might be bully season. But that dude right there, those hits right there could have ended my career.
Could end it, the one on AB could have ended his life.
And I'm going to say, like Russell Westbrook, because it's something people are familiar with. What he told that person in the stands who said those horrible things to him, man, if a dude hit me like that and I happen to get up from it, man, but I swear on everything that means something to me in this earth, me and that dude going to have a problem, and we're going to never be able to be in the same locker room. So I don't know what John Gruden and them are doing. I've been in a lot of locker rooms. I know a good atmosphere. I understand the brotherhood. I've been with guys who've been knocked out, and we've been praying for them, hoping that. I was on the field when a dude died, Corey Stringer. Don't tell me this ain't important. This is how I made my living. This has changed a multitude of families. This changed my mama's life, changed my sister's lives, my brother's lives. And to have him arbitrarily, we're going to put him on the field? No, he ain't going to be no teammate of mine. And if they had signed him, I'd be in the front office today telling him the same thing. And if he want to have a conversation with me, I'd be telling him to his face.
He cannot control himself. That's what makes him so dangerous. This guy was going to be a top 15 pick at Arizona State. Why was his draft situation the way it was? Where he was a seventh-round pick or undrafted. He fell all the way. I think he was undrafted. If not, he was a seventh-round pick by the Bengals. Why? Because he was wildly reckless and dirty at Arizona State. That play on Antonio Brown. I'm good friends with the guy that was on that team, one of the leaders of that Cincinnati Bengals team. They had just taken the lead. That was a playoff game. They had just taken a lead. This team leader goes up to Vontaze before that drive, grabs him, and says, "We will win this game as long as you do not get a personal foul." Got it. Listen, we will win this game as long as you don't get a personal foul. Because Vontaze had a great game in there. He'd returned, I think he'd forced a fumble, returned it for a touchdown. What does Vontaze do 5 minutes later? That. Chris, before you and I knew each other, and we've got the play here, a play that went under the radar. I watched you on another network talk about a play everyone missed. That was it Max Williams? And I think we can show it, like, where it's, this is nothing to do with the play, what he does at the bottom of your screen. You'll be able to see it better here.
Vontaze Burfict's in the middle of the field. He called the defense. He sees the running back go to the right. He sees the quarterback throw to the right. But he decides to take the liberty and come out of his zone and hit a guy up under the chin with the crown of his helmet. Everything that's been outlawed in the game. Now, I'm going to tell you, there's plenty of other shots of him doing things just like that. That's not football.
Or twisting guys' ankles after tackles. He is the single most dangerous, forget dirty, most dangerous player in the league. And it's not about we want, guys get annoyed with it's cross sports, Draymond Green, but you love it. It's not like that. And it is the type of thing that what he did to Antonio Brown could have killed him.
Okay, but he's still playing because coach after coach and team after team and the league, for some reason, keep giving him chance after chance. Why not do something that really, really penalizes him? Take him out of the game. John Gruden seems to be okay with that culture in Oakland, which is mind-boggling
well,
to me.
Well, it's not league after league because the league has fined him every time the fine doubles. It's suspension and fines. He's missed more than $4 million. So it lets you know he don't care about the money. So the league is doing what the league can do. This is about someone being familiar. Paul Gunther, the defensive coordinator, was the defensive coordinator in Cincinnati when he had success. And he believes him to be one of the elite linebackers. Because when he is playing, he is a top 20, top 25 linebacker. He's a liability in pass coverage. So that's another reason why he can't play for me. But coaches believe in players and giving them chances. It's not the league's responsibility. The league is doing what they have done. They've taught the players, they find the players, and they've taken the player off the field.
Part of being a pro football player is a requisite level of toughness and a requisite level of violence you have to be willing to withstand. That is part of what differentiates guys that can't make it, guys that do, and the goods from the greats and the greats from the Hall of Famers. It should not be I have to worry every single play if this guy is going to cheap shot me to where I could not wake up or not play again.
Let me tell you what it takes. It takes damn courage to play in the league. That's what it takes. It doesn't take courage to have a guy running on the blind side and he's not looking and you take a cheap shot on him. It's like being in a club and you sucker punch a guy in the ear and you say, oh, I'm tough. No. If you're tough, you face people up and play the game the way the game is meant to be played. So he shouldn't be playing. And if I had control of things, he wouldn't be able to play on the team that I'm able to play on, or the team would have to make a decision today. Which one of us do y'all want the most? Because I wouldn't be able to be in the same locker room with him because I'd have problems with him.
All right, we'll take a break. Much more First Things First right after this. The FIFA Women's World Cup trophy has made its way to the Fox Sports studio in L.A. and will be broadcasting every match of the tournament live on Fox, FS1, and FS2. It all kicks off June 7th from France. Back here with Chris Caney, we are going viral. Mike Trout and the Angels are finalizing a record 12-year, $430 million extension. Other athletes are taking notice of the mind-blowing numbers with J.J. Watt posting, "Hey, Houston Texans, Trout and I kind of look alike. How do you feel about 12 years, 430 mil, fully guaranteed for me, too?"
I think J.J.'s record-setting deal at the time had $43 million guaranteed to it. Mm. Trout just with 10x that.
Wow.
Good to be the best player alive in Major League Baseball.
That's crazy.
And not care about telling anyone.
Oh, what do you mean?
I mean, one of the most understated players
absolutely. I thought you were saying the opposite. Yeah, no, humble guy, happy to be.
He just want to play baseball.
That's all he wants to do.
Check the forecast because he's big in the weather. That's all he wants to do.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the forecast in Southern California for Mike Trout is raining money out there.
Okay, I didn't know where you were going.
Okay.
Okay.
That's all you need to know.
A lot of bags.
Thunderstorms.
A lot of bags, didn't say.
Thunderstorms.
Moving on to the Giants. So, after zero quarterback drama this offseason, the Giants have decided to go forward with 38-year-old Eli Manning. But a change might be coming soon. According to reports, the Giants met with Ohio State quarterback Dwayne Haskins last night ahead of Haskins' pro day today. And other reports say no team did more work on Haskins than the New York Football Giants. Kenny, is Haskins the answer to the Giants' quarterback problem?
In my opinion, he is. I mean, CC, we've been talking about Haskins for 5 or 6 months now.
Yes.
I mean, he's a special, special talent in terms of what he does in processing information in real time, the cerebral aspect of the game.
Yes.
And that part of the position. I don't think that there's a prospect coming out this year that does it to the level of Dwayne Haskins. There are some guys that have other attributes that are stronger. Kyler Murray has the mobility to his game. I mean, you've seen a larger sample size from Drew Locke. But, I mean, in terms of looking at the raw ability and then how he sees the game, I don't think there's a better fit for the Giants than Dwayne Haskins. So when I looked at what the Giants did last week in trading Odell Beckham Jr., I thought the only way that you can justify that kind of move, trading one of the best wide receivers in our game, is if it's putting the franchise in position to acquire the successor for Eli Manning. And if you're going to execute the Kansas City Chiefs model, which is what Dave Gettleman said at the combine, having a veteran quarterback and a young guy in the building to learn from him, you probably need to do that this offseason because this is the last year of Eli Manning's contract. He's 38 years old. You're going to have somebody else play quarterback for him. Dwayne Haskins would be a good option.
Co-sign that 1,000%. I do not think Dave Gettleman's tenure up to this point has been impressive at all. I think he's made a lot of missteps. One way not to fix all of it, but to take a giant step in the right direction, is to find a way to get this kid on your team. He's the guy that I think should be the first quarterback taken, not Kyler Murray. He, to me, is the safest bet. I have seen plenty of quarterbacks, his style, his game, be highly successful in this league. He wouldn't be one of one in NBA history, or in NFL history, pardon me, to be successful like Kyler would be, given his height, given his measurables. And if the Giants just knew what NFL history says, if a quarterback goes one, the next quarterback off the board likely isn't there at six. You're going to have to move up to get him. The next guy goes two or three most years. If the reason they traded Odell was because they needed the capital, 6 + 17 + 95, so he essentially would be trading Odell plus the sixth pick for an opportunity to get Haskins, I can get on board with that. I understand that. And if you say we don't have Odell, but we can pair him with Saquon, like, you can start telling a story that makes sense. And Haskins, because of the lack of experience, could benefit from 6 games, 8 games behind Eli Manning. And Eli, even though he is far from an elite player at this point, he can still be an elite mentor and a guy who tells you, here's how you can be the quarterback in New York City and go through your career off the field the right way, which no one can say Eli hasn't done that. So for all those reasons, if they get Haskins, I'll change my tune quite a bit on what the plan is and what their approach has been.
CeCe, we've talked so much about Kyler Murray and what he could and potentially might do in the NFL. Talk to us about Dwayne Haskins. Who does he remind you of? Whose game does he remind you of? For Giants fans who now may be changing their tune, this could be the guy we may get. Introduce us to this kid a little bit.
Yeah, well, I'm going to take you back just a little bit. I think that a guy from the past, similar height, this quarterback's being a little bit taller, throwing motion, regular, similar, athleticism, very similar, and that would be Drew Bledsoe. Flat out can gun it from in the pocket. Dwayne Haskins, that's who he is. Drew Bledsoe was never known as a big diva. He was a great team guy. That's what Haskins has been at Ohio State. Can throw the ball to any part of the field. He really has no weakness as far as his throwing motion. And like Drew, once he gets into the pros, I believe that throwing motion will be a little more refined, where he'll take away some of that windup that he has in it. But his ability to be able to throw the ball, his hand size is good enough. In cold weather, can throw the ball through the wind. That's who I would like to compare him to. If you look at NFL history, I believe that their types and how they throw the ball, Canty, are very, very similar.
Yeah, that's a good comparison. Drew Bledsoe was my teammate down in Dallas. The one thing I'll say about Drew, he wasn't going to throw a lot of incompletions. He was going to hold that ball until somebody was open, and if he couldn't get it there, it was probably going to be an interception. But that's who Drew Bledsoe was, a good locker room guy. But again, he's one of those guys that processes all of that information the way that you would want a quarterback to do so, because that's where the success at the quarterback position in the National Football League starts. It ain't about arm talent. It's about the 6 inches between a guy's ears. And so looking at where the Giants are at now, understanding that they need a lot of players, not just one guy, yeah. I think the quarterback is a great place to start because that gives you a longer window to be able to add talent to this team. This is not going to be fixed in 1 or 2 off seasons. Dave Gettleman has got to replenish the cupboard. Jerry Reese left it bare, and so I think that presents an opportunity. If you get the quarterback, you're not worried about that position for the next decade plus. It gives you an opportunity to be able to have somebody that you can build around.
Now, I do believe, because these positions as general managers are very, very rare. And Gettleman has the type of history where he's never drafted a quarterback. He does believe in big people. He's one of those guys, philosophy, big people, play this game. The only way that because I believe he does have something in his bag, like he's going to try. Like he's going to try to do something. I believe if after Kyler Murray is drafted, I believe he should trade for Rosen because I don't believe Haskins might be there. So that would be, if they don't get Haskins, they need a quarterback in this draft. So I'm not going to say Haskins alone could be their answer. I'm just going to have enough foresight to believe that Gettleman, that pressure is on him.
Who's better? Who would you rather have?
Well, Well, I'd rather have Haskins. I don't know if he'll be available if some team is going to try to leapfrog the Giants or there's a team that's already in front of them that's going to take
him. Raiders or Bucks could potentially take a quarterback.
It could happen. But the one thing that I will say is if you don't have a conviction on a guy, whether that's Haskins, Murray, or trading for Rosen out in Arizona, then you can't take him because it's only going to set your franchise back even more years. The Giants can't afford that. The last two seasons, we talked about it. They only got 8 wins in the last 2 years. It's a lot of losing. You played 32 games the last 2 years. You only got 8 wins. So, I mean, this is a proud franchise, and they're trying to get back to doing some winning. But in looking at the situation that they have right now, I just couldn't imagine an offseason where they didn't get a quarterback. But I know that that's a real possibility. I had the opportunity to talk to Jordan Renan, who covers the Giants beat for the other shop that I work at, and he was saying that the mood in the building is it's a flip of a coin whether or not they acquire a young quarterback this offseason. And so while I understand that you can't reach for a guy, I also look at the situation and know that you're not going to get back to the point where you're consistently competitive until you get a young quarterback.
If they don't come out of this draft with either Dwayne Haskins driving traded for Rosen, to me, there is no scenario where the Dave Gettleman era ends in success. So you were saying that you wouldn't criticize him if they went Rosen instead of Haskins. Me neither. Like, if you think, hey, instead of trading the 6th and the 17th, maybe we can get Rosen for the 37th pick, our second-round pick, and then add talent with the 6th and 17th. You guys know I'm high on Rosen. I can get on board with that as well. But if the answer is, no, we're going to wait another year, that's the wrong answer. When you say flip of a coin, that will determine getting Haskins or Rosen doesn't guarantee a successful era. But coming out of this draft with no quarterback, with no blue chipper, because Rosen was a blue chipper, Haskins is a blue chipper, would to me be the total opposite. And right now, I think Haskins is an undervalued prospect because of all the conversations surrounding Kyler Murray. At the end of the college football season, I thought Dwayne Haskins would be the guy teams would be trying to trade up to number one to get. Now we're saying, he's not going to be the first quarterback taken. Could he be there at 6? That would be, even at 4 or 5, enormous value given the player that I think he is.
All right, Kenny, thanks for joining us
great
today.
Great job, man.
Second break coming up. Kobe Bryant knows how to fix the Lakers. That's next on First Things First. On Sunday, the Monster Energy Series moves over to FS1 as NASCAR's finest battled out in Martinsville. It all starts at 2 Eastern only on FS1. In the Fox Sports app.
And Steven Jackson's a funny dude, man.
Oh, man.
He's a funny dude.
Whole funny crew.
Life's great.
Back here with Steven Jackson talking Lakers, specifically their young guys who will be forced back into trade rumors the second the summer begins. Kobe Bryant was asked by a Spanish website if the team should move these guys for Anthony Davis. Here's what he said translated into English. Kuzma, Lonzo, Ingram, are the three of them better than Anthony Davis? No. Ciao. Bye. Anthony Davis is one of the best players in the world. That works better in Spanish. Not currently. In history. What are we talking about? If you can trade for Anthony Davis, you do it. If not, all right, we have three players who are very young and work hard. They're smart, and they have to develop. But if you can trade for Anthony Davis, yes. All right, Steven. I translated that all really quickly in my head.
You did a great job.
Is Kobe right?
This is why I love him. It's about winning. I don't care who on the roster. I don't care who on the team. It's about winning. And that's always been Kobe mind frame. That's why I always separate him from LeBron. His attitude is winning. His will to win is just you can't compare him to anybody. And the way he approaches the game, the way he's saying that anybody can go,
ruthless.
And it's about winning. I love it because that's with Kobe, you know what he gonna bring, and that attitude lets you know that it's about winning. It's not about nobody else but winning. I love it.
It's 100% correct. And it's why I understand that for Magic or for LeBron, the way they went about the Anthony Davis rumors publicly, the criticism, because it clearly hit the young players a certain way. But they weren't wrong in any of it. Of course the Lakers should have said, who do you want? Anybody you want other than LeBron for Anthony Davis, we'll make it work. Anthony Davis is, C said earlier, he could be in the discussion next year for best player in the league. He is a consensus, unanimous, top 7 guy. There's 7 guys better than everybody else. He's one of them. And so what he would be is the best teammate LeBron has had since who? Since the first year with D-Wade? Since the second year with Kyrie? Or maybe
the
better
best
than
ever.
All of them.
Yes.
Like, you know,
yes.
So
yes.
It's certainly on,
it's on the board.
It's
yes.
on the board. And D-Wade at that time was unbelievable. And Kyrie was coming into his own as a great player. And Davis could be the best of all of them. So, of course, it's not like any of those young guys are sure things.
You're not talking about Luka Doncic. You're not talking about Trae Young. You're not talking about a guy who's like, man, it's going to suck because we know this guy's going to be an all-star. Could those guys turn into all-stars?
Kuzma could be.
Sure, but Kuzma this year, all of a sudden, he is dead last in the NBA on wide-open threes. Like, that's a problem, especially going to play with LeBron.
Yeah, he struggled the last 15 games.
Ingram, we know now, has an enormous asterisk because of the blood clot, even though they're saying the surgery was successful. And Lonzo was starting to come into his own, but Lonzo's an enormous question mark, and he's been on the shelf for a month and a half with injury. Anthony Davis is not a question mark. He's an answer. And so, of course, Kobe's right on this.
I think that because of the skill level of the three players he's talking about and the skill level that LeBron has, I'm with Kobe. I've always been a Kobe fan, but Kobe said some things in retirement that haven't been consistent with the Kobe brand. Like as far as him mentoring all these younger players, Kobe's no mentor. Kobe's, get behind me, man. I'm getting ready to knock down this wall. Don't worry. You won't have to jump over it because I'm going to knock it down. That's Kobe being Bryant. I know teammates of Kobe Bryant, Ron Harper, who Phil Jackson brought there to bring him and Shaq together. I got Kobe stories after Kobe stories after Kobe story. But this is true to who he is, man. He's about being the best. Don't mind being paired with one of the best. And that's what LeBron would need. From an age standpoint, the difference between where AD is, where LeBron is. Because he could be that next star for the Lakers after LeBron retires. Skill set. He can post up. With LeBron being a primary playmaker, LeBron can either go to the corner some. He can facilitate the offense for two-thirds of the game. LeBron can continue playing the way that he can dominate games. But AD, the skill set, I believe, is the perfect fit for LeBron, more so than any of the other guys that can be free, even more so than Kyrie because of his defensive threat and build defend the hoop as LeBron gets older and is going to need some help.
Do you agree with that, Stephen, that of all the free agent names that are out there, of all the potential guys that could be paired up with LeBron next year, do you think AD would make that the two of them together the most successful?
I think I do. I think every team in the league is sitting there thinking about how are we going to defend a pick and roll with LeBron and AD.
The pick and roll and the pick and
pop. How can you defend that? Right. You get a great shooter on the other side, and you got a pick and roll between LeBron and AD. That's damn near unguardable.
That is 100% correct. Which is, you said yesterday, the idea of trading for AD and signing Kyrie. Mm-hmm. Well, that's the best team in the league.
By far.
That is because whomever is involved in that pick and roll, whether it's Kyrie.
Everybody got to go. Jenny Buss got to go.
Right.
Magic got everybody.
Yeah. And you got Braun backdooring for the lob.
Absolutely. You can give them the forum, which the Lakers are considering going back to. But let's say Kyrie's not involved. It's right. AD and LeBron. That third guy doesn't have to be a great player. It's got to be a great shooter.
Got to be a professional.
You got to be a professional and a knockdown shooter. Your point on defense is so key. Listen, LeBron, I do believe, can still, in moments, and we saw it in last year's playoffs, amp it up and be a great defender on and off the ball. But throughout the course of the regular season, he is not. And throughout, even at times when he is amped up, as far as what he's able to do off the ball, is not what he once was. He is what he was at one point in time, what we're seeing Zion do in college with the weak side blocks. That's who LeBron was. That's not who he is now at age 34 in year 16. Anthony Davis can be an eraser. And Anthony Davis, he has been in obscurity in New Orleans because the team hadn't been good. But he, much like Giannis, has continued to get better every single year.
You add AD and a Kyrie, you might see that Braun come back.
Oh, well,
that chasing down shots, that Braun might come back. Because guarantee you, guys like that would also motivate him to come back and be a better player as well.
And you take such a workload off him offensively.
Right.
You don't have to use all your energy on that side of the ball.
That's scary.
You have guys like that.
Thank you for listening to the First Things First podcast. Remember, leave us a review and tell us what you think. Subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts and catch us on FS1 Monday through Friday, 6:30 a.m. Eastern. For Chris Carter and Nick Wright, I'm Jenna Wolf. So long, everybody.